Hola and welcome back to Voice Memos. I'm your host, Angela George, and on this podcast, I talk about creativity, self-care, and career on a semi-biweekly basis. So, on this episode, I am bringing you my top 10 books that I read this year out of the nearly 50. I'm working on the 50th book right now, and 50 was my goal. So, I think I'm going to get to like 51, 52 by the end of the year. This list was very hard to compile. I read a lot of good books this year. So I whittled it down to the top 10. And then at the end, I will do a bonus bookish gift guide for the reader in your life. So stick around. If that sounds interesting, grab a snack, grab a drink, and let's get into it. Right. I'm recording this on Spotify Wrapped Day. So happy Spotify Wrapped if for those who celebrate. For me, it was making me think of my book Wrapped, which is why I wanted to record this episode. And I mean, I am very much looking forward to whatever Fable comes up with for their Booked Wrapped this year. Last year, there was a bit of a scandal with the whole AI generated recommendations that were kind of racist. So luckily, hopefully, they will not do anything AI this year because readers don't want AI. I don't know why they didn't think of that to begin with. But anyway, so top 10, my methodology for choosing these was I wanted to represent multiple genres. So, I mean, there might be other books in other genres that I thought were better than these, but for the sake of having a lot of different genres, I have whittled it down to like my top two or three in each of the genres. Not all genres are represented here. I have historical fiction, memoir, nonfiction, speculative fiction, and international. Why did I choose these categories? This is just mostly what I read, honestly. Like a few years ago, probably none of these genres would really be on my list. I used to pretty much exclusively read romance, but now I've really branched out and I read across a lot of genres, and I think that's great. I love that I can bring this type of breadth to my reading, and I would really encourage you if you're kind of stuck in your genres, like read something in a different genre. It will really inspire and invigorate you. So I guess let's get into it, right? And this is in no order, okay? I don't know what my top number one book was from this year. These are just a select few. And I should confirm there's actually 10 on this list. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. Okay, we have 12. I think I couldn't whittle it down to 10. So sorry. It is my top 12 books of the year. And honestly, like when I'm looking at this list, I really can't choose any of these to like k kick off the list. So, top 10, secretly 12 books that I read this year, starting with historical fiction. Tea Girl of Hummingbird Lane by Lisa C. I'm sure I've talked about it on the podcast. This is our book club reads Lisa C every year for Women's History Month in March. She does amazing books about cross-generational relationships, usually in Asia, and they are historical fiction. And there's always something with like a mother and a daughter or female friendship. The themes are beautiful. The writing is amazing. You will cry. So if you haven't read anything by Lisa C, definitely check out Tea Girl of Hummingbird Lane. And I'm pretty sure she's coming out with a new book in 2026. So that's going straight on my TBR as soon as I know what it is. Next up, I have The Rose Code by Kate Quinn. And this one is about like the code breakers from World War II, the Enigma machines and all that. And I don't know, for some reason, I just had some really vivid pictures in my mind of the characters in this book. And normally I'm the type of reader where if you ask me like what does the character look like, it's just blank. I don't really imagine the characters that well. I don't think of a celebrity or anything, but for this one, I just had a lot of different people in mind. The descriptions were great. There was a little smidge of romance, but there were also just so many themes about what it was like to be a working woman during that time, and also just being a smart woman and always having to like defend yourself for being in the room. So the Rose Code, I really liked it. And then another amazing historical fiction book that I read this year, Pope Joan by Donna Wolfolk Cross. And I definitely talked about this on the podcast before. My friend and I went on a whole quest to source the movie that was based on this book because it was like a German film that never was released internationally, even though it was in English. Like, I fully expected that we would source this DVD. I had to ship it internationally and it would be in German. And I was just crossing my fingers that it was going to be dubbed in English. But it was in English, so I don't know why it was so hard to find this movie. We found it. The movie was great, but it just not quite as good as the book. That's a well-known trope that the book is always better than the movie. But either way, Pope Joan, it's about the myth of a female pope. And yeah, I'm sure you'll see a trend here. At first, I had some of these categorized in like a feminist category, but it ends up just being the nature of what I read usually has some kind of feminist lens. So if you're into that, this is a great list to start with. Next up here, the category of memoirs. This is one of my more recent ones that I read, Unseen by Molly Burke. And she is a YouTuber, a blind YouTuber. I've been following her for, I would say a long time, like probably at least 5 years, maybe even more than that. And I am not like a religious watcher of her videos, but probably like once a month or so, like I'll tune in. But I just had no idea how tough her story was. And I mean, you just see her bubbly self like on YouTube and she's like trying out the new thing, reacting to a video. Like she's being like any other YouTuber, but behind the scenes, life was really hard for her. It's still really hard for her. I mean, she's talked about even in the publishing of this book how many hurdles she had to cross. So I would highly recommend it if you don't know a blind person in real life, or even if you do, this book would really give you some additional insight. And if you can listen to the audiobook, she narrates it. So I love that even more. And I did listen to the audiobook. And then another audiobook that I listened to that was narrated by the author, 107 Days by Kamala Harris. Oh my God. You think you know what's happening with these people because you see them in the news all the time. But when I listened to this book, I realized I just had no clue how hard things actually are when you're literally running for president in a condensed campaign. I think this book is an amazing, like, just way to empathize with these people. Like, at the end of the day, politicians are people too. And I'm not trying to stan any politician. I think there is a lot of issues with most of them. But this was really humanizing for me to like just hear Kamala's story, her perspective, and just like how draining it would be. Like not being able to sleep in her own bed for like months. So I would highly recommend it. It's very timely. And I will say it was a tough read when every day you just hear the next most awful thing that the Trump administration is up to. And then you see like what her mission was, like what we could have had. So it is heartbreaking in that way, but it is also hopeful that there are people that want to do good things for this country and are fighting for that. So add it to your TBR, add it to your Christmas list. For nonfiction, Everything is Tuberculosis by John Green. I feel like everyone was reading this when it came out, and it is so true. Everything is tuberculosis. If you get it, you get it. If you don't, read this book. I mean, that's all I'm going to say. It's short, it's sweet, and he just brings such a great perspective to everything he writes about. So, if I love John Green, and I love Hank Green, but he doesn't write books. So, We'll keep going here. On Tyranny by Timothy Snyder. This one, I wasn't sure if I was going to add it to the list until I brought it up at book club and nobody at the table had read it yet. And I just kind of thought everyone had read it because the whole list, I swear, this probably took me like 3 or 4 months of waiting on hold to get the audiobook. So that's why in my mind, I'm like, oh, everyone's read this. Everyone's reading it. But no, like my book club hadn't heard of it. And when I gave them a few like of the tips from this book on how to avoid an authoritarian regime or like signs of an authoritarian regime, they were all shocked. They really resonated with them and they wanted to read it. So I am recommending it to you, On Tyranny by Timothy Snyder, if you want to watch for signs of tyrannical forces, if you want to hear about the history of how these regimes come to power and what you can do, like little things you can do to stop tyranny from happening. My favorite tip is just like looking your neighbors in the eye, talking to your neighbors, knowing the people around you, being friends with them, because when you can't talk to people around you, then you don't know who to trust. So just, I mean, even that is just so powerful. So highly recommend. And then The New Age of Sexism by Laura Bates. This one came out this year. A lot of these came out this year. I've been like keeping up with the new books this year. But this one's extremely timely. Laura Bates has written a lot on just like the inequality between men and women. She runs a whole blog about women who have been sexually assaulted. It's like a space where they can share their stories. So The New Age of Sexism is specifically about how technology is the new oppressor in the modern age and how sexism is baked directly into every new innovation that's coming out these days, especially AI. And I like to think of myself as a very like tech savvy individual. I keep up with AI. I talk about it a lot on this podcast. And yet each chapter from this book shocked me, surprised me, and horrified me. So it was a tough read. I'm not gonna lie. I had to put it down sometimes just from the horror of what she was describing. But it is real. It is happening right now. And I actually just handed it off to a coworker to read because it is particularly alarming when my work and so many places of work are completely embracing AI without even thinking about what's going on behind the scenes, the environmental impact, the baked-in sexism that is just underlying in the technology. And I want to be somebody that embraces innovation, but it's like, at what cost? And are we doing this the right way? Are we doing this in the right time? And are we really thinking about it? So if you're curious about any of that, I would highly recommend this book. It was eye-opening. That's where I'll leave it for that one. For speculative fiction, we're coming up on our last few categories here. Speculative fiction, I'm starting to worry about this Big Black Box of Doom by Jason Pargan. I talked about this maybe in like a couple episodes ago, so if you want a more in-depth review on it, go search through my archives. It's very existential. It again is touching on the impact of technology in our everyday lives and how we relate with each other because of the technology that we are so engrossed in. And this one was just a very good reminder, like, let's put down the phones, let's be present. I don't know. This one was so fun. And randomly, like, I was out to dinner with these girls that I had never gone to dinner with. And one of them was reading the book basically at the same time I was. And so I think this one was very popular this year. Maybe it made it on some other book influencer lists. But, and I would not say I'm a book influencer, but it's out there. It's circulating. But if it's not on your TBR, I would definitely add it. It was a wild ride. And like, it's like a mashup between a thriller and then existentialism. So I think it's just a great read all around for anybody. Similarly, Night Bitch by Rachel Yoder is another book that I read. And I remember walking into a bookstore like a few years ago and seeing this book on the bookshelf. It's audacious. The cover is like a woman holding, like a female looking hand holding a piece of steak, like raw steak. And the title is just like shocking. Everything about it, it's like bright red. But I loved this book. And it is a little controversial. Some people don't really get it. Some people kind of hate on it. The movie did not do it justice, even though Amy Adams acted her heart out. It just fell short of the mark, I think. And the things that I liked about the book that I wanted to see in film were just kind of cut out. I'm like, do filmmakers have focus groups with the people that read the books? Because I feel like the movie doesn't even capture the big points sometimes of a book. So anyway, all that to say, this would also fall into like my feminist category. It's about like being a mom, and she's not a single mom, but her husband is away for a lot of the time. So she feels like a single mom. She's an artist, but she's had to put that to the side because motherhood is a full-time job. And at the same time, she thinks she's turning into a werewolf. So it's like got that humor to it. But at the same time, you are broaching a very serious topic. So I love those kind of juxtapositions where it's like, this is a serious topic, but we can approach it with humor. We can throw something a little weird in here. And yeah, it just makes a fun read. So highly recommend, of course. I'm going to say that about all of these. I would highly recommend all of these. And then the last category here, international. And this was something I didn't really say it out loud, but I wanted to do it. I wanted to challenge myself to read more international authors this year. And I just feel like it's kind of hard to like get started. But the first one on my list here is Grey Bees by Andrei Kurkov. And he is a Ukrainian author. This is a book about a beekeeper who's living right on that war zone border of Ukraine and what life is like being there. And it was it was tough. It really was. But I think you're never going to get that kind of boots on the ground, day-to-day life perspective without reading something like this. All you're going to see is headlines if you're just watching the news. So yeah, I think like I just want to do this more. I need to read some Palestinian authors. I need to probably read more Mexican authors, like immigrants' stories, because that's how you kind of learn what it's actually like. Last year I read American Dirt, and that one was a really tough read, but it is like the reality of migrating from Mexico into the United States and how difficult that journey could be. And this one kind of gave that similar insight, like what life is really like living in a war zone. So kind of, I don't know, I'm leaving this on kind of a serious note. But the last book on the list here is A Magical Girl Retires by Park Seo-leon. And this one is very short. It is translated from Korean. And this one was just so fun. Like, if you can picture like Sailor Moon, but the theme is like saving the world from climate disaster, that's what this book is about. And it just reads so differently from any like American author that I've read. And I loved it. I absolutely loved it. It was very short, 176 pages. So it's a very short book, but it is a beautiful read. And that wraps up my list. Of course, I have like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, like 6 more honorable mentions. I'm just going to do rapid fire here. Sociopath by Patrick Gangi. I don't know if that's how you say her last name. But I couldn't add this because I am currently reading it, so I don't know how it ends. So if there's giant plot twists at the end, that makes it terrible. Sorry. So far, it is very good. And I've also confirmed I am not a sociopath. I do not relate with this lady at all, but the memoir is so good. The Testaments by Margaret Atwood. show is coming out in 2026 on Hulu. So if you love The Handmaid's Tale, or if you're interested in The Handmaid's Tale, I would definitely read both. Mood Machine by Liz Pelly. It's kind of about the dark underbelly of Spotify. So sorry, Spotify Rap Day, but it was very insightful. I didn't know anything about the music industry behind the scenes, so definitely give that one a read. Algo Speak by Adam Alexic. This is a linguistic book about modern internet speak. Very interesting. Bright Young Women by Jessica Knoll. This is a book about Ted Bundy's victims and their families and their friends without ever mentioning Ted Bundy's name. So love that we're not spotlighting him. And then The Wedding People by Allison Espach. And honestly, I think this is just recency bias because I read this book at the very, very beginning of the year and I gave it a 4.5. But now we're at the very end of the year and I just can't really remember like how I felt when I finished reading it. But it is an existential book. So I don't know. I think it's good. I think it's good. That's my list. Now on to the bookish gift guide. And I have this broken down into least expensive to most expensive. Starting off with a a good self promo, a $5 gift for a bookish friend or loved one. My butterfly bookmark zine, which is now available on my Etsy store, which I just launched. So if your friend or loved one is into zines or bookmarks or books, this is a, or butterflies, this is a great one. If you're watching, I'm showing it off right now. I'm still so proud of this zine, and it just pops into your book and then you have a little butterfly sticking out. So very cute. It's also available for free on my blog if you just want to print it out and give it to your friend. So $20 gift, moving up in price here. If your friend is a gamer, or if they are not a gamer but they love reading, Tiny Bookshop, you have to get it for them. I am obsessed with this game, and I don't really consider myself a gamer, but this video game is something that I easily get addicted to. I'm just like, one more round and then I'll go to bed. And then before I know it, it's been an hour. So if you haven't seen it before, it's just this adorable mobile bookshop going through a small town. And the books that you're recommending to people are real books. So it's just fun to be able to see a book that you've read in the game and then recommend it to somebody. And then you decorate your little bookstore with cute stuff and plants. So it's just the perfect cozy game, and it's available on Switch or Steam. So please get your bookish loved one Tiny Bookshop. They will love you forever. In a similar price range, I would say a custom library book embosser. I've been kind of eyeing these, but my bookshelf is literally like 12 or 15 books, so it doesn't really make sense for me. But if you have somebody that has shelves and shelves of books, and they want to like make it a library or make it feel like a library, these will cost you about $20, and they'll be able to like press a seal into the first page of the book that says, this is like from so-and-so's library. So it's just a fun personalized gift, but kind of ridiculous to buy it for yourself. And then bookends, I feel like these are just kind of overlooked and they're always a little overpriced. So it makes a good Christmas gift. So the only thing is you kind of have to know like their personal home decor style. So a little trickier, but definitely thoughtful. In the upper range of gifts, I have a $60 Book of the Month Club subscription. And so this will get them 3 months of Book of the Month, which is like a book subscription box. It sends them a book based, like I think they get to choose off a list. I have never joined Book of the Month, but I get their emails and I've been very tempted. So that's why I feel like it's a good gift, because it's like a little pricey, but it would be fun for your bookish loved one. And then lastly, the top gift that you could get somebody that if they don't already have an e-reader, it's going to cost you about $100, $150, but it's changed my life. I got a Kindle this year. I had a Nook back in the day, but the era of Nook is long over. So, yeah, I have a Kindle now. I'm obsessed with it. It lets me read in bed with all the lights off. It lets me read in all kinds of different lighting conditions. It's lightweight. It never dies because the battery life is insane. And it's so easy on the eyes. I can read it in the pool because it's waterproof. I can read it in the bath. There, it's just life-changing. And I can add my library books to it. So I love, 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 love an e-reader. Plus, I mean, if they already have an e-reader, you can get them accessories for the e-reader, like stickers or like a pop socket. Or I have these Strapsicles. That's the actual brand. So there's lots of options if they already have an e-reader. That opens a whole new category of gift ideas. But if they don't, and you're willing to splurge, get them the e-reader. So that's the end of what I have for you today. Thank you so much for listening. If you liked this episode, consider subscribing on YouTube. I'm really close to 100 subscribers. I know that sounds like nothing, but it's taken forever to get that close. So if you liked today, please subscribe. Or I'm also on Spotify and Apple Podcasts as just a podcast to listen to. You can learn more about me at angelageorge.com. That's my blog, and it has everything about this podcast on it. Yeah, I hope you have a cozy week ahead, and I will talk to you soon. Bye.